Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. What constitutes the proper authority in religion? This is that which we're going to be discussing in these few comments. Jesus said in Matthew 7, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore whosoever shall hear these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." Now Jesus here is presented in contrast with the scribes. The scribes were supposed to know quite a bit about the law of Moses by virtue of the fact that they were constantly copying it. And they were often consulted in legal and religious matters. And Christ often taught differently from the law of Moses, however. For instance, Moses' law condemned murder, but Christ commanded that we're not even to hate. Moses condemned adultery, but Christ even condemned the lust. Moses taught an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but Christ taught to love your enemies and to pray for them and do them good. He taught as one who had authority. The scribes taught what the authority God through Moses had commanded. Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, said, "All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and in earth." Matthew 28 and verse 18. Our world is in a political and social and religious restlessness, isn't it? And much of this is due to the lack of recognition of proper standards and authority to govern us. Men differ. They have disputes and conflicts. And the result is confusion. Were it not for the courts with authority, confusion would be the constant state of things. Without law, there could not be any order to society. There must be standards to which all are accountable and responsible. And we have measuring standards such as 16 ounces in a pound and 36 inches in a yard. Our government has a bureau of weights and measures, scales and standards. And this is true in every department of life, whether it be in the home, in the school, on the highways, in civil affairs, everywhere. But it is more important to have the correct standard in religion than any other area, because in that area we are concerned about the soul of man that shall not cease to exist with physical death. Now, to simplify our lesson, let us suggest that there are two dominant standards to which all religious authority might be reduced. And these two standards are opposite each other, very incompatible with each other. Broadly speaking, these two standards are concepts called modernism and fundamentalism. What do these terms mean? Well, modernism is a term first applied to some European teachers who had departed from the original teaching of the New Testament. It now includes a great force of many of the best minds in the world. It is representative of the attitude of heart and trend of mind, which rejects not only the New Testament but the entire Bible as authority, substituting human reasoning as the guide and criteria for religion. Briefly stated, it exalts man's wisdom above God's revelation, feelings above faith, which is created by the Word of God. Modernism relegates the Bible as nothing more than just literature, uninspired, nothing more than just a purely human product. Man and man's reasoning capacity, they think, is the sole standard by which to measure. When we speak of modernism, we're not speaking of a straw man. Modernism is taught in the schools and the textbooks, over the media, in every area, including the teaching of many religions. Certainly men do not always agree. But modernism promotes the everlasting confusion because each individual becomes a law and a standard of his own. Each is governed by his own feelings and his own thinking. None are accountable to anyone if modernism were taken to its ultimate. Nobody ever does anything wrong as long as they do not violate their own personal law and their personal conscience according to modernism. Modernism begins with the rejection of the miraculous recorded in the Bible. Anything that cannot be understood and explained naturally by human reasoning is summarily rejected. To accept anything that you can't rationalize is looked upon as a reflection on your mentality, according to modernists. If one will stop and think for a moment, he will realize that there are so many things that we accept to be true that cannot be determined by testing in a test tube, or seeing with the eye, or being able to explain by human reasoning. For example, we believe life exists. But what is that quality we call life? The chemist can take a grain of corn and make something like it as far as physical and material substance is concerned, but he can't plant it, nor will it produce. But the natural seed will bring forth another plant. Neither you, nor I, nor the chemist can explain that, but we accept that. Why do you eat some foods, and it will make nerves, and blood, and muscles, and bones? We know this happens, but the explanation is not available to us. Why will the same food produce white skin on some and black on others, and yellow or red on even others? We know it does. But human reasoning will not explain it, yet we have no problem accepting it. Someone has asked, how can a black cow eat green grass and give white milk from which we make yellow butter? Do you have the rational answer for such things? No, but we accept it. The idea of rejecting whatever one does not comprehend is not something we apply so broadly and absolutely as it is done by the modernist in religion. Really, he's simply seeking a way to escape from being accountable to God for his life and his behavior. Some way he must remove God. And his way of attempting to do that is to contend that he will never accept anything he cannot physically measure or rationally understand. And because of this attitude, the modernist rejects such things as the virgin birth of Christ. He knows that every person has a male and female parent. But one being born of a virgin is not natural. That is miraculous. And having begun with the rejection of the miraculous, he has no explanation for the virgin birth. Therefore, he simply dismisses it as being false. And the same thing is true regarding the resurrection of Christ from the dead, and the power of salvation by his blood, or the promised return of Christ. Just because their finite and limited minds do not understand how this can be according to natural law, they reject it. But you see, the Christian accepts these things by faith. But his faith is not a blind faith, but a faith based upon reliable evidence. And this evidence is revealed in the Bible, the Word of God. And it is verifiable, and the testimony reliable. And as with so many other things in life, these things are believed because the evidence proves them to be true. Now, fundamentalism is exact opposite of modernism. Let us hasten to note that when we speak of fundamentalism, we're not talking about the term as is used sometimes to designate those who are totally literal meaning of every passage of the Bible. To do that is to fail to rightly divide the word of truth. Some language of the Scripture is literal, and some is figurative and symbolic. It takes study to determine which. We use the term fundamentalist to mean the opposite of modernism. We mean by it the acceptance of the Bible as God's Word. Notice the opposite positions taken by modernism and fundamentalism. Regarding the Bible being a divinely given book, Christ being born of a virgin, Jesus as the Son of God, the resurrection from the dead, and other miracles, the modernist says no to all of this, while the fundamentalist says yes. The points of view are as far apart as east from west. It is grievously evident that those who claim to believe the Bible are hopelessly divided. The Catholics are divided from the Protestants. Protestants are divided from Protestants. And who is to determine what they're going to follow as the sole authority in religion? Catholics and many Protestants, though not all, and true Christians believe the Bible to be inspired of God, though they do not believe it in the same way. Most of them believe in the miracles recorded, and some believe miracles are still happening even now. Much of Catholicism and Protestantism has been overrun by modernism, so the division is deep, and for all practical purposes, irrevocable. In addition to the modernist among these groups, Catholics turn to creeds and the councils and the papal edicts and canon law and tradition and superstition and even many other things that openly contradict the Scripture. And Protestantism is a mass of confusion with the disciplines and prayer books and manuals and conferences and catechisms and confessions of faith and on and on and on. More and more we see and hear of the authority of feeling that is called a direct operation of the Holy Spirit. All manner of innovations and departures and transgressions have resulted, and such provokes the world toward atheism. Christians believe the Bible to be the sole authority in matters of religion because the Bible claims that for itself. One cannot seriously claim to believe the Bible and then to deny the claim of the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now, friend, when you place this assertion by the Apostle Paul alongside Paul's warning against preaching another gospel than that which was preached, Galatians 1:6-9, you place that alongside the teaching of John not to go beyond or transgress the doctrine of Christ, 1 John 9-11, and you can see why the Scriptures are the sole authority to be followed. One must deny Scripture to allow anything other than Scripture to be religious authority. Christians of the New Testament order recognize no human document as God's law. They are determined to speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent, bind what it binds and loose what it looses, doing what is authorized and doing nothing that is outside biblical authority, taking God at His word, and taking all of that word, the whole counsel of God. Christians believe that what one believes and says and does and thinks must be in harmony with the book of books, the Bible, the word of God, the authority in religion, because it reveals the Christ to whom all authority has been given. This has been a burning fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.